Thank you, Pastor. Praise the Lord, church. Aren't you thankful for the goodness of God? Yeah, I couldn't help but get excited when I heard the praise team start singing that song, because it lined up perfectly with the Word of God. And that's a beautiful thing when that happens. It tells us that we're in unison, that we're in His will. And I'm thankful for His will tonight. If I could turn your attention to Psalms chapter 91. Verses 1 and 2. And I'd like to thank each and every one of you for being here tonight. Give honor to the E-Church. We love you. We appreciate you. We ask the Lord to continue to richly bless you. I want to give double honor to my pastor. The Bible tells us, though, those that rule well are worthy of double honor. I want to give honor to my pastor, but most importantly tonight, I want to give honor to the Lord God Almighty, the Holy One, the Almighty One, the lifter up of my head. He breaks those chains of bondage. He keeps me and He watches over me. And I'd be nothing without Him tonight, and I'm thankful for His goodness to me. Hallelujah. If you could turn to Psalms 91, 1 and 2. And the word of the Lord says, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Yes, sir. Are you thankful that you can trust Him tonight? Let's give Him a hand clap of praise for His goodness, for His mercy to each and every one of us, and that He's trustworthy. Hallelujah, Lord. We thank You for Your goodness. Hallelujah, Lord. You may be seated at this time. So we're going to go, Lord willing, through these 16 verses of Psalms 91. And the thing about Psalms 91 is that it basically has two people speaking throughout that chapter, and it's basically covers a multitude of topics, but it's three primary points, and one of them is the first speaker is extolling God's goodness. He's talking about how wonderful God is. That's verses 1 through 8. And verses 9 through 13, it talks about some of the things that God promised to us, the things He promised to keep us from, the things He promised to watch over us with. And then the last, from 14 through 16, it's actually God speaking to each and every one of us. But when I was reading this about He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, it made me think about the title. And the title of this message tonight is, Where Are You Living? You know, we all live somewhere. We have a home, a natural home. And tonight when I make a reference to a natural home, I can only give you my experience of what home is, the childhood home that I have and the home that I have now. And I know that everyone's home life is different. Everyone's home life is we're all raised differently. And I know that some of us who are challenged, and that we were living in homes that might have been dysfunctional. They might have been full of neglect. They might not have been ideal. But tonight I want to here to tell you that we serve a God that can eradicate that pain from your life, that He can help lift you up out of whatever toxic behavior you were exposed to. He can help lift you up from whatever type of trauma that you dealt with as a young person, and then He can lift you up and He can allow you to emerge victorious from whatever that you lived with as a child, whatever that was that held you down. Because tonight I want you to know that He is that chain breaker. He can rid you of that generational curse that's been upon your family, that's been upon your life. We serve an almighty God that can eliminate that, and He can allow you to walk victoriously. He can allow you to walk with authority, and He can allow you to walk in His presence each and every day as long as you abide in the Lord God Almighty. And there's some of you who had a different life that, you know, the chauffeur dropped you off in front of your home. You know, the butler opened that front door for you. You know, when you came in the house, the cook there, she had the personal chef had your lunch, your little snack ready for you after school, and the tutors were lined up for you, and you never made your bed because the maid, she took care of all that for you. So some of you, those 1%ers of you, those that have been blessed and highly favored here on the earth, well, heaven's going to feel very familiar to you, and you'll be blessed and highly favored there as well. But for the rest of us, home has some certain what I would think of his characteristics. You know, when you go home, by a show of hands, how many of you, when you get to your house, do you knock on the door before you come in? How many of y'all do that? Nobody, right? For them, nobody does that. I mean, I'm talking about if you lost your key. If, I'm not talking about that. If you go to your house, how many of y'all ring that doorbell before you go? We don't do that, right? We have access to our house. We have access to our abode. We have access to that place that we dwell in, the place that we live. We walk in. How? We walk in boldly. Honey, I'm home, or whatever you say when you get home. That is what you do. Mom, what's for lunch? Or however you address the household, you walk in because you have access to your home. That's your place. It's where you live. And there are other characteristics of your home. Like, that's where your treasures are, right? Not just talking about your money or your assets, but your loved ones, right? That's where our loved ones are, where our treasures are. Our loved ones there, you know, our siblings, our children, our spouses. And, you know, some of you ladies, your treasures are there in that closet. You got them cute little bags, right? And then you got your shoes lined up. Some of your treasures. And men, you got your toys, too. You got your little ride there in the garage that's got a cover on it. And you never drive it, but on Sundays, we've all got different treasures, and we normally have them where we live, in our home. It's important to us. We keep them there. Other aspects of a traditional or typical, what I would think of home is that you have sustenance, right? You come home. I mean, my son's been married for a while, and when he shows up, he doesn't live there. He's been married. Him and his wife, they have their own place. But when he shows up, the first thing he does is he comes in the house, and he's a polite kid, so he greets everybody. But then the next thing you know, he's like, open to that fridge. Hey, Mom, what do we got? You know, what's in there? Oh, we got leftover tri-tip. Oh, we got some. Oh, he's right there. And he doesn't ask because he doesn't need to, right? He doesn't say, hey, can I get some of this? He might ask, hey, what time is dinner? Oh, it's 2. Oh, I got time for a snack, right? So he'll get in there and he has access. He has to the sustenance. He doesn't have to ask because it's home. You know, you show up to mom. I mean, show up to your home. You just, it belongs to you, right? So you have sustenance there. And then also, other characteristics of his home is that besides his treasures, but his security, right? There's protection, right? You come home, you have not only security from the threats of danger, but the elements too, you know? When it's raining, you walk inside the home and you're dry, you know? If it's cold outside and you come in and you got the heater on, and unless you're like my daddy, but like, you know, put a beanie on and a jacket, you're going to be all right, you know. But for the most of us, you know, you can turn that heater up. You can adjust that thermostat. So we have, you know, security. We have shelter. We can also, you know, and those are things that are important to each and every one of us. Security, shelter, sustenance, access. And these are things that are the benefits of living in a place. The benefits of putting roots down in a place. The benefits of abiding. Now, to abide, that means, in one description, it means to sit down. It means you're not moving. It means you're staying there. You're put. It's not a place that you just, you know, drop by on the weekends, or you don't just have a toothbrush there. It's a place where you live. It's where you reside. It's where those things that are near and dear to your heart, that are important to you, they're right there. And the author, the psalmist here, and I say the psalmist because some places say it's Moses wrote the psalm, other places say David, but either way, what we know is the psalmist had a magnificent revelation of God and his goodness and his ability to protect us and keep us. So if you can just bear with me for a few more minutes, we'll go through this. Hopefully, if I have so much information that I know I'm going to forget things and I'm going to have, like, regrets afterwards. But hopefully I can deliver this in a manner that God impressed with me. So the verses 1-8 are the proclamations of the Lord and that he speaks to our refuge. Verse 1 says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And to dwell means to live, to reside, to inhabit. But the shadow of the Almighty is a covering. It's a shade, right? It's a shade. It's kind of like the children of Israel in the wilderness, that shade of the cloud by day. It kept them from the heat, the scorching sun. It kept them safe from the elements that were out there. That shade, that covering that God provides for us, he's a shade. He's our shade. He's not throwing shade. He's not throwing shade. He's not that, but he's our shade. You know, the word does tell us to be salt and light, but does not tell us to be salty, right? And so it tells us that he's our shade. He watches over us. He protects us, and he keeps us. So that has what the benefit of living under the shadow of the Almighty is that he can protect us from all those things. Our home protects us from the elements. He protects us from the elements as well with his shade. Now, verse 2, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Your refuge is your trust. It keeps you from danger. It also keeps you, in one definition, it keeps you from falsehood, keeps you from the haters, it keeps you from the gossipers, it keeps you from those people that want to tear you down by saying false things about you. He is that refuge and our fortress. He's our strong tower. He's our fort and our castle. Verse 3, he says, he shall surely, surely, without a doubt, that means, right? Without a doubt. If you're fancy, you would say something like indubitably, you know. But without a doubt, you can bank on it, you can rely on it, you can invest in it, because surely, without fail, it says, he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. And when you look at that, when it talks about the fowler is a trapper. It's a hunter. It's a person that goes out to catch birds. But he doesn't just put a noose or a net out there. The first thing he does, or she does, the enemy does of your soul, is he puts some bait out there. Yeah. He puts some bait that'll attract you. And the enemy of our soul, he knows that bait that we find irresistible. He knows that bait that's our flavor. He knows that bait that will easily beset us. And the Bible said, if you read that verse, it says he will deliver you from the snare. It doesn't say that you won't find yourself in need. It doesn't say you won't find yourself caught up. It doesn't say you won't find yourself where you trip or you stumble. What it says is that he will deliver you from that. That's the beauty of his mercies that are new every morning. As long as you repent, as long as you don't harbor it, as long as you see that and come to the realization that you need to amend your ways, God is quick and eager to forgive us. And so that's the deliverance he provides us from the snare, from that which tries to bring us down. The noisome pestilence. Pestilence is here making reference to the plague. We've been talking about plagues a lot lately, right? Viruses and diseases and variants and plagues. But it also is primarily mentioning, it's talking about sin. Sin. The sin, those destructive things. Because unlike a disease which can kill our bodies, and we all do the best that we can to take care of ourselves, but unlike a disease which can kill the body, there's one disease, there's one pestilence that can kill both the soul and the body if it's unrepented of, and that is sin, because the wages of unrepented sin are death. So we need to be careful, and these are the things that God can deliver us from. Now, when it says noisome, it says noisome is defined in here as noisome was perverse, naughty, but these last two ones that I thought were very telling definitions, and it was calamity-filled. Calamity-filled. That's real bad. Or the next one was engulfing ruin. These are the things that God, that the psalmist is proclaiming and reminding us that God can keep us from, that he can watch over us from. And I found comfort in that, knowing that regardless of what life brought our way, regardless of how the situation looked, regardless of what midst of the storm was, however those waves might be appear to be overflowing us, or that we were going down for the last time, that we serve a mighty God that can deliver us from that. And he can keep us from that because he is faithful to each and every one of us. And I'm thankful for that tonight, for his goodness. In verse 4, it says, he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. And that one thing I talk about, that shield in my mind, I used to always think it was like a little shield, like a little round shield that went on his arm. But when you read about that, it talks about a shield that can protect the entire body of the soldier. So it's not, so that way you're impervious, that way you're well protected, that way you're completely, you know, he'll keep you safe from those wiles of the devil. But wings, when it's talking about wings, it's talking about the border, a skirt, a shirt, a hedge, a covering. In Matthew 23:37, this is an example of what he's talking about, wings. It says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under the wings, and you would not. So those of you that may have been raised in an agricultural home, maybe some chickens and goats, you know what I'm talking about. You know, the mother hen, she kind of fluffs up, and they all go under there for warmth. They go under there for safety. And that was the image that God's trying to give us, that he would like to, you know, scooch up to us. He wants to cuddle up to us. He wants to bring us to his bosom. He wants to keep us near and dear to him, because we're important to him. And he loves us. And so that's the mental image that God is trying to give us there, like the mother hen. Verse 5, Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. Terror by night. We know a lot about terrorists these days. We've been hearing lots and lots of things about terrorists and attacks in the night, attacks that are clandestine, attacks that are naked, that are not visible to the naked eye. But how about those other attacks, like nightmares? Those attacks the devil puts upon us when we're asleep, you know? Those dreams you wake up for and you're like, thank you, Jesus. I'm glad that was just a dream. Yeah. Maybe that doesn't apply to some of y'all, but I know I've had those. Or how about those attacks of darkness that are of your mind? That anxiety, that depression, that self-doubt, those challenges that we have, that those voices that are in our head that nobody else can see, but we hear them. We know about them. Sometimes their sound is deafening, it's roaring, and that's all that we're aware of is that memory from that past, those hounds of your past that come to remind you of what you've done, to remind you how you're not worthy, to remind you how you don't deserve things. But we serve a God that he keeps us. He said he covers us with his blood, and then he casts our sin into the sea of forgetfulness. Because he is faithful to us. So those terrors of by night, they don't need to cause us any more fear. Those terrors by night, we can eradicate them and forget about them because we serve a God that will lift us up. And lift us up and bless us and keep us. And I'm thankful for him. I'm thankful for the Lord tonight. Amen. And the arrow that flieth by day, those are the texts that we do see. Those are the texts that we are aware of. And he said he'll protect us from those as well. Nor for the pestilence, verse 6, that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. In verse 8, only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Only with your eyes you will see, but not reap the reward of the wicked. If you know, sometimes they say you can learn something from anybody, from everybody. You can either learn what to do, or you can learn what not to do. And by watching the calamity of the wicked, we can learn what not to do. We can see the trouble and the trials and the issues they have in their life, the challenges that they are faced with and oftentimes impose upon themselves because they choose not to abide. They want to have one foot at home, they want to have one foot out, and it's a very uncomfortable position to be in. So it's easier and it's safer to be and remain in his shelter, to remain firmly ensconced in his presence, to stay near and dear to him, to allow him to cover us with his wings and just kind of snuggle us up to him and keep us safe from all our situations, from all that life throws at us, from those things that are seen and from those things that are unseen. And he gives us the wicked to remind us of that certain end, that certain challenge that we're going to have if we're not careful. Now, verses 9, I like to call this the prerequisite verse. Because if you don't do this, you can't do that. That's the prerequisite. It's vital. You know, if you don't finish your bachelor's, you can't start on your master's. If you don't take the class, you can't get your driver's license. If you don't do this, you don't do that. In verse 9, because thou hast made the Lord, which, and I like this one, which by the way, is my refuge too, is the author saying. Because thou hast made the Lord, which so happens to be my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. In Isaiah 41:2-10, it says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness, it says. In Psalms 27:1-6, which is one of my favorites, I want to read this to you if I can. It says, Psalms 27:1-6, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my light. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foe, came upon my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host shall encamp about me, my heart shall not fear. Yea, though war shall rise against me, in this will I be confident. Not confident in myself, not confident in my money, not confident in my education, and confident in the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the Holy One, the Almighty One. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. That I will seek after thee. He said, one thing have I desired of the Lord. And that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Where is he trying to dwell? It says in the house of the Lord. How many times? How often? All day, every day is what he's saying. All day, every day. He wants to dwell in the house of the Lord. To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Verse 5. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock, and now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies, mine haters, my challenges, my anxiety, my depression that are round about me. And therefore will I offer in his tabernacle a sacrifice of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Let's give him a hand clap of praise right now. Lord, we thank you for your goodness and for your mighty acts. And we lift you up, Lord God, and we worship you. For you are faithful, Lord God, to each and every one of us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Verse 11, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up with their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. So angels, he said, are going to be charged over you. You're going to have your own set of bodyguards, your own celestial bodyguards, your own guardaespaldas, as they say in Spanish. They watch your back. That's what the angels are for. So they keep us from tripping up, to keep us from falling. That's their objective that God's given. That's their assignment. Their assignment is that you, the child of the king, you're not just somebody they're protecting because it's some little celebrity, some social media celebrity nobody's ever heard of. You are royalty. You are royalty. You are more than just an elected official. You are more than just a person of notoriety. You are the child of the Most High, and therefore he sends his angels to engulf you, to keep you, to protect you, to stay locked and loaded in your presence, to keep you free from all challenges, all harms, and every situation. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord, and I magnify your name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Aren't you thankful for his protection today? You have your very own royal guards. Yeah, Buckingham Palace ain't got nothing on you, baby. Nothing on you. And verse 13, thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample underfoot. And so when you look at that and you break it down a little bit, the lion talks about predators, wicked men. The Bible describes the devil as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And wise and crafty predators. The difference between, and then it mentions the young lion. And the young lion's quick and nimble and impulsive. And he'll can approach you a certain way. And sometimes it's predictable. But that old lion, he's been eating for a long time. The old lion, he's got some game. The old lion, he's going to wait in the cut for you. And he's going to know how to approach you, how to get at you, how to address you, how to attack you. Yeah. But no fear, no worry. Because God's going to let you trample upon him too. The adder is referred to as a serpent, the devil, the dragon. Also, it mentions the sea monster, the devil, the Satan. So God protects us from all threats. That's the beautiful thing about this passage. All threats from the land, from the sea, from the natural, from the human, that's from the spiritual enemy, and also from the demonic things. So God is able to keep us. In this verse, it addresses that he can keep you from threats from any angle, from threats from any situation, from threats from any direction. He is more than able to protect us and keep us. Amen. In Revelations 20, and verses 1 through 3, and it says, and I saw an angel come down from heaven, talking about trampling on the devil here. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon. He said, it means he snatched him up. Snatch the devil up. That old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, And he bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should not deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed to season. So right here, it's talking about how God, an example of God sending that angel to bind that devil, to bind that challenge, to bind those issues that you have that you deal with it so easily or can beset us. And now verses 14 through 16. This is God's promises to us. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. Think about that. I will be with him in trouble. He's not a wayfaring friend. He's not a good time friend. He's going to be with you when you're hangry. He's going to be with you when you're broke. He's going to be with you when you're looking, when you're having a bad day, when you're having a bad hair day. He doesn't care. He said, I will be with you in trouble. I'm going to be with you when you're stressed out, when you're having a panic attack, when you are challenged, when you're locked up, when you're broke, no matter your situation, when you find yourself struggling, he says, I will deliver him and honor him. Honor him. That means he's going to restore you. He's going to restore you. And with long life will I satisfy and show him my salvation. I'd like to read this, if I could, real quick on the NIV version. It's the NIV version. I like it because it breaks it down a little bit differently. And it says, because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him. Not maybe, and on a good day, if I feel like it, maybe I'll call back. He's not saying that. He says, I will. It's guaranteed. He will surely do that. There's no thing to worry about. It's a ironclad guarantee. I will protect you. I will rescue you. For why? Because we acknowledge his name. It says, he will call on me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. So in Hebrews 13:5, it says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. When it mentions deliver him and honor him, it's talking about to restore you, to return what the enemy has stole from you, and to promote you, to lift you up out of your situation, to put you up on a rock, and to allow you to have that good success, to allow you to have those benefits and blessings that he has prescribed for us, those good things that he has set aside for us. In verse 16, with long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Salvation, prosperity, victory, deliverance. That's what salvation is. In Acts 4:12, it tells us where to find that salvation. It says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That's where we find our salvation, must be saved. In Philippians 2:10, says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, of things in earth, of things under the earth. These are all the things that must bow at the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. If I could have the musicians come up at this time, please. So where are you living tonight? Are you dwelling in his presence? Do you have access to the divine? Do you commune with the Almighty? Are you living in his well and to the full extent of our privilege? Sometimes we sell ourselves short. Sometimes we don't maximize our potential. Sometimes we don't take advantage of our full benefit that we could have if we would abide in him, if we would dwell in him. Matthew 7:7-8. Ask. You want to know how to get this? Just ask, shall be given to you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock. You don't have to knock when it's home, but if you're not sure how to get there, if you're not sure that this is home or it's been a long time since you've been there, it says knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth. And him that knocketh, he promised, I'm going to open it up. He said, come on in, mija. Come on in, mijo. Get in here, son. Come on in here. So where's the door? If you don't know where the door is, where do you knock? How can you gain access to the secret place of the Most High? And how do I... If you don't know tonight, how do you make his abode your permanent dwelling, your permanent address, so that you can, too, also enjoy the many benefits of God? Yes. Acts 2:37-39, our favorite scripture. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and they asked the same question. They said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of the sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So today is the day of salvation. Today, if you're not living and abiding in him, is your moving day. Today, you no longer have to live a life of sin and shame, but today, you can permanently abide in the shadow of the Almighty. You can enjoy his covering. You can walk in confidence. You can walk under his authority, with his authority. You can walk in victory, and you can live in the assurance of knowing that someday soon, you will be with him, and you are pleasing to him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And my last scripture, Jude 24 and 25, it's probably my favorite scripture because in some ways it's preposterously beautiful. It says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. You like talking about me? Yeah, you too. Me too. To keep you from falling. And to present you how? To present you all banged up like you feel half the time. To present you all scuffed up and road weary and haggard from the challenges of life? No, that's not what he says. He says, I'm going to present you faultless, immaculate, flawless, shining bright before the presence of his glory. And he's not going to just be like, oh, yeah, by the way, this is my kid. This is, you know, he's not my favorite, but, you know, he's mine. But, you know, it's not what he's going to say. It's not how he's going to deliver it. It's like, well, you know, yeah, she's part of the family too. It's not like that. He's going to present you with joy. Like, hey, check this out. This is my baby girl right here. Yeah, let me tell you about her. Let me present her to you. Oh, this is my main man right here. Let me tell you about my main man. Let me tell you what I think about him. This is my favorite son right here, my favorite oldest son. That's how he's going to present us, with joy. He's going to brag on us. He's going to be happy for us. It's going to be enthusiastic and exuberance, and he's going to be glad and proud that he can present us that way. Hallelujah. That's his plan for each and every one of us. So if you're happy, are you happy with where you're living? Are you content and satisfied with how you're living? Are you walking circumspectly before the Lord, and are you dwelling firmly in the shadow of the Almighty and under his covering? Is your soul safe tonight? Is a heavenly provision in your future? And are you living? And do you have full access to the King of Kings? Our God has prepared a hedge to protect us. He has said he has mansions built for us in the heavenly home, that we can dwell with him there eternally if we abide in him here on this plane. Are you satisfied with where you're living tonight? If not, are you looking for a better place? Are you trying to access a permanent residence that will provide you with protection, that will provide you with security, that will provide you with sustenance, not only in this life, but in the life to come?